Are you looking for messages of comfort during a dark time? A Time to Grieve is a beautifully designed card deck offering 56 different messages of hope to help you navigate your feelings of grief. Whether you're facing the death of a loved one, divorce, job loss, or conflict, these cards can help. Select a card at random for a moment of solace and reflection. Get your deck today for yourself or someone you love at unity.org/grieve.
Discover the power within. Unity Online Radio. The voice of an awakening world.
Learn how to eat better, get healthy, and help animals. Welcome to Main Street Vegan with your host, Victoria Moran.
I pay attention to publishing. I've written 13 books myself, and I read the New York Times book review section every Sunday like a religious observance. And it is with this background that I have formed the opinion that the book we'll discuss in this hour is the most important title of the spring 2021 publishing cycle. It's Brother Vegan, Black Men Speak on Food, Identity, Health, and Society. Hi, everybody. I'm Victoria Moran, your host for the Main Street Vegan program. And if we're not yet acquainted, please do visit me at mainstreetvegan.net, where you can find out everything that goes on in the world of Main Street Vegan. You're also warmly invited to join the Main Street Vegan podcast listeners group on Facebook, where we do book giveaways and all kinds of special stuff that you'll want to be in on. And speaking of special, you will be hearing today from three very important men in the vegan movement. And as Black men, Black people, they're also part of the fastest growing vegan demographic in America. So I want first to introduce the editor of Brother Vegan, and that is Omawale Adewale. And he is the father of three, an organizer, the author of An Introduction to Veganism and Agricultural Globalism, and as we said, editor of Brother Vegan. He's also the founder of Black Veg Fest, which is festivals all over the country. And oh my goodness, do we want our festivals back after COVID? And he is the co-founder of Grassroots Artist Movement Game. And joining Omawale in this first half hour is Dr. Kevin Jenkins, and he is a bodyguard and a clergyman and a certified vegan lifestyle coach and educator, and one of the wonderful men who has contributed to this anthology. So welcome, both of you. It's such an honor. So Omawale, I'll start with you. Where did this come from? Tell us about the idea and the evolution.
Wow. So I want to definitely be very clear that there was a book that came out 11 years ago, 2010, by Dr. A. Breeze Harper, called Sister Vegan. And so that's where Brother Vegan has its history, and is a compliment to Sister Vegan as we try to educate within the Black community about veganism. And obviously these concepts are very, they can transition, it's transferable everywhere. But some of them are so key and so specific to our community that they're guided by so much love and just understanding that, you know, we want to feel comfortable in the vegan movement. We've united. Many of us have been within the vegan community for so long, and we've just united around this concept and this idea. But when people come into veganism, they first come in, you know, ignorant. I come into the, you know, the vegan movement wishing that I've been vegan, you know, all those 20 years that I was vegetarian, but I had no one to support me. No one came and said to me, such to this, you know, 15-year-old, hey, let me help you on how to be vegetarian and transition into, you know, veganism, you know. But today I am making sure that I am helping, you know, folks. So as soon as I had the opportunity, you know, for Brother Vegan, once Lantern Publishing and Media and, you know, Dr. A. Breeze Harper, you know, tapped me to be, you know, the editor, you know, I was definitely elated. And, I you know, I felt like, you know, some of my concepts should definitely get out there and, you know, and they agreed with them. And so, I feel I'm in great company with the other men that are on this project.
Oh, it's a wonderful list. And let's just talk with one of them now. Hey, Dr. Jenkins.
Yes, Victoria. How are you?
How you doing?
How you doing, Omowale? I'm doing wonderful. Excellent.
Hey, Kevin.
So how did you get involved in this project?
Well, you know, Omowale actually tapped me. He sent a call out to all Black vegan men that would be interested in making a contribution to the book. And I met Omowale about the time when I first turned vegan. I was like Omowale. I was a longtime vegetarian and really didn't know anything about the concept of the lifestyle of veganism. And in 2015, I made the transition to be a vegan. And we were at some event, and I cannot remember where it was. It was some vegan restaurant, and he was selling his book on, I think it was animals. And what was the name of your first book, Omowale, that you had?
An Introduction to Veganism and Agricultural Globalism. That might have been V-Spot. Am I doing my signing?
That might have been. That's right. That's right. V-Spot in Manhattan. Yes.
And excellent vegan
picture. I have
cuisine.
To find it. Yeah, I have the picture where we took. So I met him there. And we struck up a nice friendship, and, you know, we kept in contact. And so he made the call. He made the call out on social media for men to submit, you know, the papers to this wonderful book. And I'm just privileged and honored to have been selected as one of the men. My chapter is the last one. And baseball terms, I use the term that I'm batting cleanup. So my chapter is the last chapter. In the book.
Well, I want to ask you a little bit about what is in this last chapter. You've got a series of terms, and I'm just going to run through them and let you talk about the ones that just strike a chord with you today. You've got protein, passion, protection, protest, and power.
Yes.
Tell us about some of those.
Yes. Okay, well, you know, the first one, protein. You know, when we ask Black men and men to go vegan, to go plant-based, especially those guys who are athletic, and we have one on the other end, Omowale, and myself, they feel that you're going to lose muscle mass when you stop eating animal protein. But contrary to popular belief, you can maintain your muscle mass. In fact, the largest animals on the planet, like a gorilla, for example, they are vegan. They are plant-based, and they don't lose their muscle mass. So, you know, we have to demystify that concept that you're going to lose your muscle mass when you're just eating plants and you get rid of animals. And then, of course, the passion is something that's very, very important to every man. When you eat plants, you can avoid erectile dysfunction. Erectile dysfunction is really the canary in the coal mine, as they say, that is a result of blockage in your heart. And so when you're eating plants, you avoid the cholesterol and the blockage that accompanies eating animals. And so you have men today younger than Omowale and myself who have these problems starting in their late 30s and 40s. And if they start eating plants, that could clear that blockage up and you can have the blood flow so you won't experience ED. When we deal with protection, you know, men are natural protections. And so veganism is more than just a diet. It's also a lifestyle. So when you begin to eat plants, you are, of course, protecting the animals from being slaughtered. And one thing that people don't realize, and they may not think about, but when you're eating animals, you're eating animal body parts. That's what you're doing, that have been horrifically slaughtered. And so you protect the animals that way. And then you're protecting the environment that suffers because of our reliance on animal protein. And then you also, of course, you're protesting, too, that same situation. You're protesting food injustice just on your plate and the slaughter of animals. And then, of course, power is dealing with the energy level. I'm a guy that, you know, God willing, this July I'll be 66 years old, but my energy level is like for a 35, 40-year-old guy because I've been eating plants. This morning for my exercise, I did 100 burpees. And anybody in CrossFit knows that a burpee is an exercise from hell, as they say. You know what I mean? But, you know, I'm able to do these things because of not only my mindset, but also I contribute that to the energy level that has been increased because I've been on plant-based. And by the way, I started becoming vegetarian when I was like 1974, when I was like 19 years old. So I can't even give thanks enough for the transition that I've made to go vegan and the wonderful blessings that physically, mentally, and spiritually that I've received as a result of that.
It's so interesting that just in this one essay by Kevin Jenkins, Why Black Men Should Go Vegan, we're talking about health and relationships and politics and life and what it really is to be a man. So Omawale, as the editor, how did you encompass all this, you know, in all these essays and make it this coherent whole?
Well, there's definitely a lot of assistance with Lantern Publishing. But the first thing I wanted to be clear when I was, you know, communicating with Lantern was that it would be an unapologetically Black piece, right? They all wouldn't sound like Kevin. They all wouldn't sound like Omawale. Everybody would really come from specific, you know, points of view, backgrounds that had tremendous strength and power. And so that's why we also had, you know, we had trans men on there. We also had, there's also gay men within the book because we have to have a spectrum. You have to have, when I think of protests, when, you know, Kevin has an excellent piece, you know, but when I think of protests, I also think of, you know, 2020, where a lot of the work was actually written in, and, you know, the Black community was going through so much, and it just is a testament to how much you can actually do and how much change can be made, because we're right now currently advancing, you know, I mean, 12 and a half billion, you know, animals have died, first off, in 2021. But we are minimizing that number, rapidly. And so I want to be clear that when you are protesting and we're already dealing with so much issues, like even if we talk about civil rights, we talk about 2020, so much happening with the Black community and in regards to, you know, George Floyd being murdered, Breonna Taylor. We've also at the same time, you know, try to shoulder animals. And it doesn't mean because we were going through something that we had to. I want to be clear about that. It doesn't mean that we had to, because you can't really apply that to any community. We can't apply that to the white community, you know, as well. We can't say that, can't look at, you know, anyone's oppression and say that, okay, you should be able to be prepared for, you know, to support others that are oppressed. However, we still come out and do that. And that's because when you have this, when you're looking to change systems, you change systems for more than just you. You change systems for other people, and you change systems, you know, for animals. And so we wanted to have this whole, you know, spectrum and really speak to it. So it's not just a, you know, cisgendered heterosexual piece. So we wanted to make sure that we were really covering bases, that we were really taking stands where we felt was necessary. And I wanted to make sure we had a great group of, you know, folks. You know, not everybody was going to make this piece. And we had to have really clear and coherent, you know, pieces. And we think about Raleek Bourne, 13-year-old, you know, who got his family to go vegan and is a boxing champion, a young boxing champion. That's just incredible. Of course, I would want to, you know, have him in the book. He can speak to peers much better than I can. And so he needed to be in there. That's why we have that. That's why Kez is Ezekiel, a trans man who's in the book, is speaking, you know, on these concepts, because this should raise the level of people. Everybody's not going to be on the same on the same page. That's fine. You have to, at the same time, people are not on the same page about not consuming animals, not exploiting animals. It might take time, but I think this book is in the right place, and we put people in the right place. And I wanted to just make sure that people were being heard. But in terms of, you know, organizing, a lot of people, some really, Stephanie Arujo, also, she's the interviewer, you know, of many of the folks, you know, in the book. She was a critical, you know, piece in there as well. Of course, Dr. Avery, you know, Harper, you know, the publisher, Martin, you know, excellent, you know, copy editor, Emily. And I mean, so a lot of people really, you know, helped with this piece. Also, Brian Normoyle and Rebecca. And Rebecca, who actually was doing Hudson Valley Veg Fest, you know, she also helped with, you know, with the pieces, you know, as well. So we have some great contributors, you know, on the piece. And the only thing that I wanted to maintain, one of the most important thing I wanted to maintain was that it spoke from the from a Black perspective. They're not all the same, especially how we intersect the vegan movement, because we're also dealing with, you know, ourselves. When we do, when we're educating, we're also clear that there's other issues within our community. And so we really try to bring those pieces, you know, together and almost have them interlocked. So we can talk about housing, we can talk about healthcare. And we talk about healthcare, we also gonna talk about, the first step is, well, let's not eat animals. You know, that's the first step, and we can bring people in there. So we bring people in there with love and compassion, the same way we want people to share that compassion, you know, to animals.
Very cool. And this was one of those shows where I wish I could have had 30 guests instead of three. And some of the other contributors have been on the show before, so I'll connect in the show notes at mainstreetvegan.net to past interviews that we've done with Fred Beasley of New York Hip Hop is Green, Tori Washington, the wonderful bodybuilder, Brooklyn Borough President Tori Washington, and then also with Dr. Harper, who was on with Sista Vegan a few years ago. So, Kevin, you're out there really in the world. I think some of us kind of live in the vegan bubble. I mean, I'm guilty. You know, I work with vegans. I'm around vegans. But, you know, you're the pastor of a church. You do this bodyguard work, which is amazing. And you're involved in the fitness community. So do you get pushback? Do you get pushback from other Black men, from just other human people about being vegan?
Surprisingly not, because what happens is, especially like if I'm going to a gym and I'm working out with some guys or whatever, or I'm on the calisthenics park or whatever, and then we get into conversation sharing about workout techniques. And then sometimes I ask the guys, well, guess how old I am? And the guys will always say, well, I guess you're about 40. You know, sometimes they get me as young as 35 if I don't have any facial hair, right? And then when I tell them how old I am, they're like, really? Oh, my God, you what? Matter of fact, a friend of mine that I went to school with, I put an exercise video on Facebook. I was doing squats. And he said he showed his girlfriend that was, like, younger than he was. And then he told her how old I was, And she was like, are you kidding me? He looks so good. He's sick. You know, he's doing all that. And my friend told me he had to turn the social media off. She was bragging on me so much. You know what I mean? So I don't get any pushback at all. They're amazed. And then and that becomes a point where I can tell them, hey, guys, this is what I've been doing for the last 40 plus years, you know? And I think it's a great lifestyle that you can adopt. And today, and I think Omawale said that before too, about having the support, you know, when I started off become vegetarian, you know, I was born and raised in Buffalo, New York, you know, that's near Cleveland, Ohio. And, you know, it was kind of difficult because I was eating grilled cheese sandwiches and all that stuff, you know, being a vegetarian. But now it's easier. It's much easier. It's wide open. And you can get the support, of course, because you're going to need that because, you know, part of that eating animals is a cultural brainwashing, you know, but you can get that support. And then I'm lucky and blessed enough to be in a denomination, Seventh-day Adventist, who recommends you go vegetarian or vegan based on one of our founders. And statistic has shown that we are one of the longest living people in America because of the plant-based lifestyle. Matter of fact, Don Buettner has placed one of our places, Loma Linda, California, as a blue zone, the only blue zone in America where people are living past 100. They don't have any cognitive problems. They're still driving cars. They're still in society, you know, they're being active. And he attributes that to our adherence to a plant-based lifestyle. It's not a requirement that you join, but it's because of our culture since the founding of the denomination that we say, listen, it is best to go plant-based. And one of our founders, Ellen G. White, she has a book called Councils of Diets and Foods. If you read that, you would say, man, she was ahead of her time with the industry of animals being slaughtered and things of that era. So no pushback at all, really.
Well, that's good to hear. I was in a workshop on Yoga Goes Vegan this past Saturday, and we had Representative Jeremy Gray from Alabama. Do you guys know him? An amazing young Black vegan House of Representatives person down there. He's trying to get this law that outlawed yoga in the Alabama public schools turned around. So he's a real go-getter and a terrific guy. And one of the participants said to him that whenever she mentions being vegan, somebody will say to her, well, isn't that racist? Isn't that elitist? Do you ever get that argument, and how do you answer it? Omawale?
Okay. I can... Has it ever... I've never heard that it was ever racist to be vegan. I think that it's not it's not a racist concept. When the closest that people come to it, and I really try to you got really have to handle these conversations with compassion, because I mean, if we're talking about veganism and I talk about, you know, and we understand the difference between veganism and you know, and plant-based, but I try to get veganism out there as much as possible, and because there shouldn't be any problems with you know, saying that someone's vegan, but of course we have to deal with it. So I approach this with compassion when I'm talking to people, because sometimes, you know, many of the animal activists, right, are white, and they generally won't come into Black communities. Of course, they have in the past, right, but they've stopped coming into the community because they don't have the tact. They don't have the tact. Like, for instance, I'll give a great example. Chili's on Wheels basically, you know, will go into like homeless communities, right? Doing a great, excellent job. You really just have to provide the food. You can't really go in there and start talking about you got to go vegan, you know, because you have to meet people where they are. You don't know where they are because you don't want to lose them. If the whole concept was to bring people in and help people understand where you're coming from and why veganism is compassionate, and also why it's doing a number on your body. You have to meet people where they are. And so maybe the conversation. So when we were doing vegan parties, I organized vegan parties from 2014. What I would do is just provide the food. But of course, we spoke some and we did 30 minutes, a conversation. So we have, animal activists, would come as well. People would come in who were transitioning. People were coming who had there was no hope for them going vegan. When they ate the food, they said, oh, okay. And so you could bring people in through the food. So I would never discount that when people go plant-based, they're still bringing down the numbers of animals being slaughtered. And that is so key, to me, because it's tangible. It's something that we can actually put down, on paper. It's great data. It's good information. It tells us, what's working. Same thing, with Black Veg Fest. It tells us it's working. When we do our studies, or when we take data and information and do evaluation at the end, how good did we do? How many people did we come? When Black Veg Fest is bringing, 70% of the people are identifying as Black, that's great for us. That says, quite a bit, So hopefully I, tried to answer your question. And, in regards to that.
Well, thanks. It's a big question and you did a great job. So we're just about coming up to break. We're going to be bringing on Dr. Milton Mills after the break. Dr. Kevin Jenkins, if you can hang out with us longer, sure. That would be wonderful. If not, thank you so much for your contribution. Everybody else, stay with us. This is going to continue after these messages. You won't want to miss it.
Thanks for joining us. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Welcome back to Main Street Vegan with your host, Victoria Moran.
Hey, everybody. Thank you all for being with us today. I do want to do a quick shout out to our sponsor, the good people of Compliment. That is lovecompliment.com. And this is a wonderful supplement. In fact, several now made by vegans for vegans. Compliment Core is your B12, D3, omega-3s, and vitamin K2 in a liquid form. No messing with any swallowing capsules. And Compliment Plus capsules and Compliment Complete, also liquid, have additional nutrients as well, so that when you're eating a really good diet, you don't have to sweat the small stuff, which turns out to be really big stuff when you're trying to be a healthy person out in an unhealthy world. So you can get yourself a discount with a newly shortened discount code of Main Street. Run that together and use capitals and save yourself some money. So we are talking about this book that is so important. You've got to get it. I mean, seriously, please. This is important. Brother Vegan, Black Men Speak on Food, Identity, Health, and Society. The editor, Omawale Adewale, is with us. So are two of the contributors. We have been speaking with Dr. Kevin Jenkins, and we are now reintroducing one of your favorite guests on the Main Street Vegan program, Dr. Milton Mills. He practices urgent care medicine in Washington, D.C. He's the previous associate director of preventive medicine of the National Advisory Board for Physicians Committee of Responsible Medicine. He has contributed to position papers to the United States Department of Agriculture regarding dietary guidelines for Americans. He is out there doing amazing things and just someone close to my heart. Dr. Milton Mills, welcome to the conversation.
Thank you, Victoria. I do have a small correction, but it's kind of a big deal.
Okay.
I know my bio somehow says urgent care. It's actually critical care. So rather than kind of seeing people with stomach aches and colds, I see people with heart attacks and pneumonia.
And I'm sure you've been extra busy during this COVID time.
Oh, you just don't know, which is why I have absolutely zero patience with people saying that this terrible, terrible and devastating pandemic is a hoax. That will make me lose my stability faster than calling me the N-word.
Well, that's huge. And I mean, I can't imagine what healthcare people
I wasn't
have
expecting
have
that moment of silence, but yeah.
This time.
Shall we go for
that's real serious break? Right there.
So what's your involvement, Dr. Mills? Why did you want to write for this anthology?
I guess first, one, because Oma Wale asked me to, but and I was just honored that he would want to include me in such an important work. And then beyond that, I felt that, you know, given my life's experiences, I had some things that I really wanted to say about what it means to be a Black man in America and a Black vegan man in America and a Black vegan man within the African-American community. And so this was the platform to do it, and it was a wonderful opportunity, and so I jumped at the chance.
So I'm just going to ask all three of you, and we'll start with you, Dr. Mills, because you just got here, and then we'll ask the others. What does it mean to you personally to be a Black vegan man in America?
What it means is that it helps me to both see and throw off the shackles of negative socialization that society tries to impose upon me as an African-American man. Because, you know, food is central to humanity and human beings. It's very interesting to me that, and I'm going to take a quick religious turn here, because I am a Christian. I believe very deeply in God, both from a theoretical, but also from a practical and experiential sense. And when I look at God's words, I mean, some of the first words he spoke to our foreparents were about food. When you read through the Bible, he institutes a lot of festivals and festivities and sacred events by commemorating them with meals and feasts. And what that says to me is that food speaks to our soul in a very fundamental way. And it's very interesting to me that when you look at the way colonizers have sort of imposed their will on the populations they sought to subjugate, one of the principal ways they did it was by controlling their access to food and then the kinds of food that they ate. And America has imposed upon Black people and other people of color a very healthy, destroying and destructive animal-centered diet that is profitable for agribusiness, but essentially robs us of our health, our well-being, and our independence. Because when you're sick and when you don't feel well, you don't have a lot of time to or a lot of energy to combat oppression. And that's why my new mantra is Black lives can't matter until Black health matters.
Wow. Dr. Kevin Jenkins, being a Black vegan man in America, what does that mean for you?
Well, that's part of my superpower. Just a quick information, Dr. Mills and I belong to the same denomination as Seventh-day Adventists. And so, you know, that is a great superpower for both of us. And, you know, for me, it's health is power. I mean, when I think about the stuff I used to do before I came into the church and came into the Lord, I should have been jacked up. I mean, I put all kinds of substances in my body, liquor and all that other stuff, et cetera. But now at the age 60, you know, 60 plus, you know, I have such vibrant energy and a great mental state where I am. So, you know, that's part of my superpower to be vegan, along with my spirituality. I'm a man of deep prayer, and I pray a lot, and I've been getting miraculous answers to prayer. And so that's part of that, too. But I can walk the streets with confidence, knowing that I have this superpower that, like Superman, stuff that happens in this society doesn't affect me like it may do other folk. It doesn't mean I'm ignorant of it. But, you know, the interesting thing about eating animals is that you have these hormones in it. And so this is why you might have part of that is just a lot of depression and all that instability, because they put all these pharmaceutical hormones in them. So I'm free of all that. So for me, as a black vegan man with the superpower of health and my connection with the Most High God, you know, I am virtually fearless about anything. And it makes me a compassionate person, because I know that a lot of folk are going through things, not just animals, but humans. And it makes me a compassionate person, ever willing to help where I can as God leads me to do that.
Gosh, I'd like to hear you preach. I think you just did. So, Editor Omawale Adewale, can you answer that question, please? What does this mean to you?
Kevin had said, you know, talk about like fearlessness and you know, and compassion. When you combine the two, they're not strange bedfellows. And I think that often, you know, we feel that they are, right? It's shocking for a lot of folks, you know, because of my background in, you know, in boxing, kickboxing, and MMA for a while, you know, for years. And so they would be shocked to find out that I'm vegan. Of course, they find out by checking my social media. So he would go on my social media. You know, if you want to get background on a guy, you're going to fight as much as possible. And but it's easy for me. And it was something that Kevin said earlier, in the other segment, and the reason why I also don't have any problems when people don't say, "Hey, are you getting enough protein?" Or I don't. The reason why I don't run into that is because, well, I'm showing that I'm strong. It's not, you know, you clearly know it. My opponents who've been in there with me, they're like, "Wow, you're vegan," you know, And it totally is it's a learning session for them, you know, automatically. And it starts to break down so many misconceptions, you know, as well. And I love where I am, because it's giving people, it's breaking down so much misconception. I think learning is about, you know, bringing light to a situation and unbrainwashing, you know, folks. It's going through that process, so I love it that you have to start there often, and it just there's so much information, but people are looking for just the basics a lot of times, like protein. They're looking, you know, they want to know health wise, and if you can go ahead and do that, you know, like Kevin, you know, meeting somebody in a gym. Or, you know, or if you're in the ring or the cage and they see you, or sometimes just because you're just living, You're living life. You haven't. You've been vegan all these years, you know, and you're looking great. Your skin is looking great. These are teachable to a lot of folks. I love the position of, you know, being Black, being vegan, and because we've, you know, my brothers were saying, if you look at what we've eaten, you know, Mills was saying this, if you look at what we've eaten, you know, during slavery, and we've been calling that soul food because we've had to change that up. And then, of course, we've gotten addicted to that. And so, you know, there's films that come out. I'm not talking about soul food, which is more of a theatrical, feature film. I'm talking about the documentary Soul Food Junkies. And such a great piece, you know, to capture what we're talking about in terms of the trash that we ate, and that we tried to look at it like maybe, you know, like we talking, of course, you know, chitlins, you know. So you start breaking that down to people on how that's actually, you know, undermining your system. People, they listen. My community will listen. I'm overjoyed that my community is listening. I do this, you know, for them, you know, and that's the reason why I wanted to be a part of this, this very significant, project, with these amazing, you know, brothers on it. It's just like, this is a real amazing, you know, benefit. I'm hoping that people jump on it. And, you know, if you just open it and just, you know, just to check a few of the essays, you know, you're automatically going to be blown away because it's going to be new information, you know, for you. And I think this is where we go. This is where we make, this is where we change and spark this new renaissance among Black men.
I love that word, renaissance. It just calls up Victoria, so much possibility. Yes.
Yeah. Can I quickly build on something that Kevin said? He talked about the added hormones that are given to the animals that are raised for human consumption. I want to talk about stress hormones, because studies have shown that racism imposes a constant state of stress on people of color, particularly Black people, that actually results in poor health by activating disease-causing genes. Well, when people eat animals that are raised in capos and these crowded warehouses and these very unsanitary, stressful conditions, these animals' bodies are also loaded with mammalian stress hormones. And so when you are a Black person and you already are stressed out, and then you go and consume an animal that is filled with stress hormones, you are adding to the burden your body has to deal with and further putting yourself in poor health and activating those genes that will shorten your life, create chronic disease, and put you in a very bad state.
Do you think, Dr. Mills, that this is why I noted in Kevin's essay that prostate cancer affects Black men at a rate 2.4 times more than white men?
That certainly is a part of it. Another big part of it is the fact that a lot of African-American men are still consuming dairy. Dairy products are the number one risk factor for developing prostate cancer. And while that may not be immediately obvious to people, you got to understand that, again, getting back to what Kevin was saying, first of all, dairy cows are fed all sorts of natural and synthetic female hormones, estrogens, and long-acting estrogen-like compounds to force them to produce extra milk. Well, beef cattle are also given estrogenic growth stimulants that persist in their tissues after they're slaughtered. And so when you're eating the stuff, you're eating the dairy, and you couple that with the fact that casein and other dairy proteins are growth stimulants, you basically have a cancer recipe that you are ingesting in your body. And as African Americans, we hail from West African ancestry, where dairy was not part of the diet, and therefore our gene pool never adapted to this diet to any extent. And that means we are more susceptible to having these more aggressive anaplastic prostate cancers that kill us twice as fast as it does Caucasian men who develop prostate cancer.
This just seemed like messages that need to be getting out all across this country. There is just, it's so important. You leave me speechless and I'm rarely there. So I want to touch in our last few minutes here on something that you all brought up in your essays in different ways. So Omawale used the word liberatory, a beautiful adjective. And Kevin talked about veganism as a social justice movement. And Dr. Mills, you, oh my gosh, you had a paragraph here that I have highlighted in yellow marker, where you said, America only likes and feels comfortable with Black men when we are confined in cages. Those cages can be either literal cages, such as a prison cell, or virtual, such as on a football field, baseball diamond, basketball court, boxing ring, or an entertainment stage. So in about 2 minutes each, if you can, could you please address this liberatory nature of your message and this book? You want to start, Dr. Mills?
Okay. You know, I'm going to go back to my Christian roots, because Kevin already mentioned the fact that the Seventh-day Adventist Church has as one of its core tenets the belief that human beings should be consuming a plant-based diet. And in fact, that is one of the things that attracted me to the denomination. I was not raised Seventh-day Adventist, but it became instantaneously clear to me that the God that created human beings would be concerned about what we put in our bodies, and he would tell us what to eat so that we would be healthy and our minds would work the way they were supposed to. And as Omawale said, when you embrace and adopt that diet, the benefits of the healthiness of plant-based eating are, they are manifold. They are physical, they are mental, and they are spiritual, and they literally release you from these sociologic chains that we have been constrained with, to think that, oh, men are supposed to eat, you know, dead, rotting tissue, or that we can only act in certain ways. I don't have time to go into it, but it, being plant-based liberates your soul and helps you become more compassionate. So it is truly liberating in every way, and it helps you see your way out of those cages society tries to put you in.
Beautiful. Kevin? Liberatory. Social justice. Did we lose Dr. Jenkins?
Kevin, are you there?
Okay, we'll go with Omawale and see if
okay. He may come back. So when I was thinking about liberation or thinking about liberatory movements, this is a liberatory movement. It's a movement that is focused on liberation. And if we can see, we have to first see our own liberation, right? And then at the very same time, so people talk about so many different things that are happening. How can we do this? How can y'all learn this and then do this and multitask? You can care for people. And that's really the first step. You could care for folks. You could understand other people in the world who are similar to you, who are even different from you. And so when we move and we're talking about this liberation you know, for Black people. When you talk about it from a vegan perspective, now we're talking about intersectionality, and we're just talking about the overlapping of oppression when we talk about, you know, intersectionality. And that's, you know, working class, you know, not having all the resources, but doing most of the work at the bottom. And we've recognized that through COVID, you know, who are the doctors, like Milton Mills, the, you know, the nurses, the medical personnel, and then also the many folks who are also, you know, first responders. And those might be the folks who are doing the deliveries. So you have this overlapping, but they also might be people of color, you know, Black people within our community. So we're understanding these concepts. We're becoming, you know, focused on our liberation, but at the very same time, we're also recognizing as vegans that, you know, animals also have a space in the world, you know, as well. And so to get free, you know, is really the beginning and the end in terms of, you know, my philosophy. You know, I think that, you know, animals should be made to be liberated. How do we do that? You know, we're starting that process right now. First, for folks have to, you know, read the book.
Well, hallelujah. Kevin.
Yes. You can hear me now?
We can.
Yes, sir.
Okay, good, good. I have a shirt that says Eden was vegan. So when you talk about social justice, when you talk about liberation, it all goes back to the Creator who designated in Genesis 1:29 that the first humans were to eat a plant-based diet. And so what we're doing, if you have a crystal-centric view, is that we're going back to where the Creator originally wanted us to be. And that is to have a world without slaughtering animals. The death of animals is a result of the fall of humankind. But that then is going to be restored in what is called a new heaven and new earth, where there'll be no McDonald's, nothing like that, and animals will live beside human beings. So you're starting that process when you go plant-based. And like we said off the air, you know, the Seventh-day Adventist Church has campuses, you know, we know around the world for health and education. And I have to give a shout out to my alma mater, Oakwood University. Since 1896, it is the only HBCU that is totally vegetarian and vegan. We don't serve any animals on campus whatsoever, even in snack bar. Everything is vegetarian or either vegan. And so it just goes back to that thing about liberation. This is where you belong. This is how the Creator has created us to be vegan and to live peacefully with other animals.
And amen to that. And Amawale, in our last 30 seconds, what's the most important thing in the world today?
Liberation. That's the most important thing. Let everybody be free.
Can I throw out one quick part?
Real quick.
Kevin, I own the domain name EdenWasVegan.com, just so you know.
Okay. Well, you better talk to Amazon about that shirt, you know.
Bless you guys, all of you. Thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for this book. And thanks to everybody for listening. Go to the show notes at mainstreetvegan.net and you'll find out all kinds of URLs and places to find our wonderful guests today. And in the meantime, God bless you. Eat your veggies.
Amen.
Thanks for listening. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Are you looking for messages of comfort during a dark time? A Time to Grieve is a beautifully designed card deck offering 56 different messages of hope to help you navigate your feelings of grief. Whether you're facing the death of a loved one, divorce, job loss, or conflict, these cards can help. Select a card at random for a moment of solace and reflection. Get your deck today for yourself or someone you love at unity.org/grieve.